If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome to Women Patriots. Tonight we have a very special guest who will be joining us to talk about all things Sarah Palin. His name is Kevin Scola, and he is a sports broadcaster, and he is one of the, I believe, the administrator of SarahNet.net. So he's going to be joining us very soon to talk about Sarah Palin, and so that ought to be very exciting. She's a wonderful woman, got some wonderful ideas, and somebody I think I could be very good friends with. We could maybe do some hunting or some kind of activity together, I'm sure. But tonight, first of all, we're going to start our show talking a little bit again about Benghazi. Now, you might wonder why I want to bring up Benghazi. Well, let's see. When did Benghazi happen? Oh, that was about, what, 9 months ago, say? And, you know, we were promised we were going to get justice for these men killed in Benghazi, the first ambassador murdered in 30 years and why on duty. In 30 years, folks, that 30 years, okay, that's an important factor. And all we got in the testimony, first of all, we got lies out of the administration and out of the United Nations Rice Secretary on the show is trying to blame this all on a video, which was not true from the very beginning, and they knew it wasn't true from the very beginning, but they chose to mislead the American people. I believe, for a political reason, I believe there was a cover-up of some sort, whether it was gun running. You got a question, what was the CIA doing there? We don't know. There's 30 witnesses in the hospital that have been gagged by the government. There are whistleblowers, and Daryl Issa has promised those whistleblowers that they will receive no retribution. So that's going to be an interesting point coming up. But released in this special report coming out of the House of Representatives says that Hillary Clinton lied, as we all knew she did under oath, when she said she didn't know they needed increased security because she signed a request back in April. So she lied. She lied about that. She probably lied about a lot of things because that has been a trademark of this administration. Lies, lies, and more lies. We have Fast and Furious. Lies. We have Benghazi. Cover up and lies. And then try to play it down and make it up like it's some kind of political event because we got to kowtow to the extreme Muslims because we can't offend them. But we can offend Christians all we want. But there's lies and more lies. And here's Janet Napolitano. Okay, the congressman asked her immediately after this bombing in Boston about the Saudi national that they were going to deport. She denied that. She said that was rumors. That was all rumors. It was all rumors. And she wasn't going to comment on that. And, oh, lo and behold, she comes out 2 days later and says, well, no, it wasn't a rumor at all, but we decided he wasn't involved, but we were going to deport him. So she lied. She lied. And now we have her coming out saying, because we have people talking about this bullet ammunition buying. The government's buying a billion bullets. Okay, well, she said, she didn't give it any credit because it was coming from Drudge Reports. So she didn't think they were credible. And yet, yes, yes, she goes on to say, yes. Well, we are buying 1 point whatever billion rounds, but it's over a 5-year strategic sourcing contract. Now, excuse me, no credit? They're buying them. What are they buying them for? Lies, lies, lies. That's all we're getting out of this administration. That's all we've gotten since the beginning, you know, on many, many things. And they're not out for the best interests of the American people. And with that, I'm going to bring in my co-host, Barbara Bupping.
Hey, Barbara. Hello, everybody. Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm feeling your blood pressure over here.
Oh, I know. It could get ugly. It could get ugly tonight because, you know, I've just been in one of those moods today. No. Lies. I'm like, how stupid do you have to be? I mean, Bill Maher is even starting to get it. And
oh, my God. Can you believe it?
I was in shock. I'm like, you could really? Bill Maher said that?
I know.
What is going on in this world? Crazy.
And then what's his name from... Bob Beckel from The Five yesterday.
Oh, I didn't hear him. What did he do?
Oh, he said we should stop bringing Muslims in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was shocked.
Wow.
He said we should stop bringing Muslim students in to find out what's going on. And the one thing that really bothers me so bad is that the FBI was warned about this kid.
Oh, yes.
And they questioned him. They said, "Oh, well, he's okay." Now, why do they have passports? Because they can follow travel. This guy, 26, the older one, was over there. He went back home for 6 to 9 months. I think it was 6 months,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then he came back here. What in the world? And then they're all on. All this Islam stuff, I didn't go on his Facebook page or his Twitter page or anything like that. But from what I understand, they have all kinds of videos and Islamic hateful stuff.
But Barbara, we have to be considerate of their religious beliefs.
Oh, screw that.
This is what they're teaching our men in the Army. Christians are the terrorists. And you
they're
have
not
to
considerate of our rights and our religious rights.
Of nobody. Of anybody.
Through them all.
It's not a these people do not believe in peace. Now these people, you know, I'm sure there are some Muslims that don't abide by, you know, the Quran and the killing the infidels. But there, unfortunately, all these bombings and all these attacks, even the one that took place in Libya on our ambassador, are by extreme Islamic Muslims because they have to kill the infidel. Now, how are we to distinguish? Because in their book, they're taught that it's all right to lie if it serves the purpose.
Well, yeah, look at our administration. This is teaching our kids.
Oh, I know it.
You know, it just gets my goat so bad. But back yesterday, actually on Friday, Glenn Beck was mad.
Oh, really?
He was mad because there was information on the first kid they got, the one that went into the hospital that was injured in the bombing versus Saudi guy. And he was also here on
the one they weren't going to deport, but we're going to deport. But Janet Napolitano's got to lie to Congress about that one. Yeah. Sorry.
That one. Glenn Beck was here. So he actually, on The Blaze yesterday, told the story. And the people, a lot of times I'll go to the AP if I see something, and if I see something from the AP, generally it's pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that wrote that article that said that he was, that they had somebody in custody on, like, the first day.
Yes.
Or it could have been the second day. I think it was the first day, though, that they had somebody in custody, stood by his story. He's like, no, because my sources are good. They're good enough, and I'm not changing it. So then Glenn Beck has, he's got all this backup paperwork he was saying yesterday, and he's like, you need to come clean. And this kid was detained, and he, like you had said, he is being sent back. Now there's going to be an investigation. Why did President Obama meet with, oh, geez, he met with some Saudi guy yesterday. No, not yesterday, the day after the bombing.
The day after, yes.
The day after the bombing.
They were,
like,
this,
really?
Yeah, they were arranging the transport of this person out of the country. And then Congress said, whoa, why are you transporting this man who was a suspect or was questioned as a suspect out of the country? And that stopped the deportation. And it is a Saudi guy. And his family has known terrorist ties. Now, I'm not saying he's a terrorist, but, you know, they've been watching him.
Right.
And like you said, if they've been watching the right guy, the guy they were warned about, and investigated, instead of wasting their time investigating true patriots like the Tea Party and, you know, the Christians, and these we people who are not causing any violence, you know, maybe they could have stopped this. I can't guarantee
it. I agree.
It's not easy. It's not easy to stop this kind of thing, but, you know, maybe they could have if they'd been paying attention. What do you do? You investigate him because the foreign country says so, and then when he travels to that foreign country, you just say, oh, well, that's not a coincidence. You know, that no big deal.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, really. It just seems like, once again, we have these inept people. After 9/11, they were all supposed to be coordinating with each other, and yet we have Benghazi when nobody knew what anybody else was doing. They never called in the terrorism task force during that whole debacle. You know, the military chiefs were not in contact with the president. They were told to do what they could do, you know, and it's like, so this whole 9/11, when we were supposed to bring all these agencies together to cooperate, and yet we still got ineptitude.
Right.
When it comes to terrorism. Probably because they're focusing on the wrong things and not the right things in this country, would be my biggest guess for that one. But,
People forget, too, because it's not, like, right out there. There was one of the radio shows that I listen to that's a local show here. They were talking about lies and hiding things. And I called up, and I'm like, oh, they were talking about the pastor that, the doctor that helped get Osama bin Laden. And
one that's sitting in jail because, you know, he helped us.
Him.
Yeah, and administration has done nothing to get him out. Yeah, that one.
What?
Yeah, go ahead.
And he was asking, he's like, wow, do Americans turn their back on their friends, the people that help them? I said, no, Americans don't, but the administration does. Look at the four dead in Benghazi. And guy was like, oh, my God, I forgot about that. Oh, no.
Forget? How can you forget? You should not forget. And a lot of people didn't, because this second push is coming from the constituents, because, you know, Congress took a break and they went home.
Right.
And their constituents were saying, we want to know what happened in Benghazi. We want the truth. And you remember how the White House sent down these documents that were all blacked out, so they couldn't even read them. I mean, they're hiding something because they won't even send them. And Congress has the right to these. Anybody listening out there should know that the Congress has the rights to all of this interaction because they're the legislatures, they're the lawmakers. The president doesn't have sole authority to just run willy-nilly and do whatever he wants to. Congress has that oversight, and yet they wouldn't even send them the papers so that they could do their business. And the only reason for not sending those papers would be because they're covering it up. But if you want proof, there are conservative headbangers. Just ask our own Christopher Manti. Join Christopher every Friday right here on conservativenationradio.org for the Christopher Manti Show, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, for a fresh take on conservative thought, modern America, the threat of Sharia, and the weird, wild, wacky world of Washington, D.C., plus some heavy metal rock and roll. The Christopher Manti Show, which could readily be called eponymous, Fridays at 9 Eastern, 8 Central on conservativenationradio.org, Real Conservatism for Real Conservatives. Right now you're listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. If you want to join the conversation, the number to call is 718-305-7176. Our special guest tonight is going to be Kevin Scola, I hope I'm saying that right, who is of Sarah.net, all things Sarah Palin. And so he'll be on here to talk to us about her. And I want to get an inside scoop. I want to know, does he have the inside to Sarah Palin? Or, you know, what's going on with that? So you'll be sure and stay tuned. And if you have questions or anything you want to add to the conversation, be sure and join us for that. But getting back to our topic, it's just mind-boggling. The lies and the lies and the lies. And when people start, Bob Beckel and Bill Maher start noticing these things,
it's a miracle.
You're just waiting for the rest of the world to wake up. Wake up.
I know.
Well, legislation. Oh, go ahead.
I have Facebook up, and Senator Ted Cruz posted a little bit ago, he says, unfortunately, today's Senate Judiciary Committee hearing failed to provide specific measurable ways DHS would verify border security if immigration bill was made law and millions of illegal immigrants were given legal status. Today's testimony did not offer adequate answers as to how provisions in this bill will help achieve a secure border. And currently, there are no objective metrics in place to ensure any triggers in this bill will be meaningful. All while the pathway to citizenship component remains contingent on the undefined border security. I love this man.
I do, too. I like that name. He's a fighter for the people. He's a fighter for the Constitution. And here's the thing. And my senator, Senator Dan Coats, says we need to put this immigration bill on hold because obviously these were immigrants that bombed Boston. One of them is a naturalized citizen. And these are
all days. How ironic.
Yeah. Yes. You know, like I said, you and I were talking earlier, and there may have been some brainwashing going on, and there are some people that are going to, and they're already going to spin this in the media. You know, I felt it myself. You know, he's a young kid. I have a kid, 18. You know, I feel this, you know. But the bottom line is he placed a bomb in front of innocent people and caused them to lose limbs. I don't know if he's the one that cost that little boy his life or if that was his brother. It doesn't matter. His intent was to kill.
Yep.
And that makes him a murderer. I don't care how young he is. I don't care how nice looking he is. I don't care about the fact that if he was a true jihadist, he would have killed himself or had the cops kill him and would not be taken alive. I don't care. He committed an atrocious act of violence. Act of terror on American soil. And here's the dilemma, okay, because here we are, we were pushing this thing about, you know, what if it's an American on American soil, are you going to kill them with a drone? Because Obama has killed an American terrorist on foreign soil with a drone without a trial. And I think this is why this kid got his Miranda rights, because he is an American citizen on American soil. Although this was an act of terror, and I'm not so sure it shouldn't have gone tribunal. But it's kind of hard, you know, to argue both sides of that argument. So,
well, we talk about the Constitution all the time, and whether we like it or not, we
right.
do have the Constitution to
right.
back our rights. And the reason they didn't Mirandize him at first was to see if he would talk. And the first thing that came to my head was waterboard the SOB.
Yeah, we were all thinking that. I mean, that's just a gut reaction. And,
yeah.
you know, I suppose they could possibly charge him with treason, you know, an act of treason against the United States. But it's hard to charge him as an enemy combatant as we haven't officially declared war, although we are at war. We are at war, people. We are at war with extreme Islam.
Yeah.
Radicalized Islam. We are at war with extreme Islam. They are not the religion of peace. It is a religion of hate. It is a religion against women and their rights. Yet the Democrats support them. It is a religion against children. A five-year-old was raped in India. Did you see that story? How disgusting. And left for dead, a five-year-old little girl.
No.
It is a religion against, and it's not really a religion, it's an ideology based on a prophet, Muhammad. And it's not one of peace. We can never peacefully coexist with an extreme Islamic radicals. You can't. It's not going to happen because they want to kill us. They want to kill Christians. They want to kill Americans. They kill Christians all the time over in Egypt and other places. They attack Israel all the time because they don't want them there in Israel's own land. And yet Israel gets the blame. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. We do have a very special guest who should be joining us here in about pretty soon. Few more minutes yet, so you'll want to stay tuned for that, and here we go.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck for Dave 2037 so he can buy anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. What are you getting Steve 2037?
Steve 2037 will be just fine.
Well, okay, but don't expect to borrow my anti-gravity boots.
Save something for the future. Put away a few bucks. Feel like a million bucks. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. Other groundbreaking ideas from that time, the whalebone corset, the pedal-operated submarine, and the two-story outhouse. We've come a long way since then. It's time our light bulbs did the same. Visit EnergySavers.gov and learn about energy-saving light bulbs. See, these new bulbs are more efficient than the old ones, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. They last longer, too, like how we humans last longer now that doctors use antibiotics instead of leeches. And they cut down on our energy costs, because in our own groundbreaking age of aeroplanes and moving pictures, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, The Beauty and the Brain, on conservativenationradio.org.
All right, and welcome back to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. The number to call, 718-305-7176. If you've got something to say, we want to hear it. And we've been talking about the bombings, the lies coming out of this administration, the lies about Islam and the extreme Islamics and their religion of hate. And when Bill Maher calls out people for trying to compare Islam to Christianity, you know we're on the right track. So,
yeah,
that one, I just looked at that and I thought, what? And that's not, I mean, he's done a couple things in recent weeks that have been kind of interesting, to say the least. you know, this guy that really doesn't like conservatives has made some very conservative points. So it was kind of like, okay, I think my world is turning upside down. But anyhow, they're now questioning whether this first bomber was possibly involved in the murder of three Jewish men on September 11th. One was a friend of his. So they're kind of looking into that story. So there may be even more to the older Sarnov, that he possibly murdered three Jewish men even before this bombing with the terrorists. From stories, his mother had turned extreme. He does have a wife and a child, and they're trying to get to the wife so they can talk to her. So, it's going to be interesting to see how this all kind of plays out. We're not going to know everything until it goes to trial because they're not going to release their information. We do know that he was being, this young 19-year-old was being questioned before he was read his Miranda rights. And we don't know what was said during those meetings, but they are going to lawyer him up, and we'll see what comes out of that. I think they're going to try to, brainwashing or, something. Who knows?
But he does say water bomb. I mean, water board.
Yeah. Get the board. In fact, there was this picture on Facebook that has Bush and Cheney walking, and it says, Bush says, I'll get the board, and Cheney's like, I'll get the water. That was just hilarious. And for those of you out there think I'm cruel and I believe in torture, you know what? We do that to our own servicemen in training, okay? So if it's good enough for our American soldiers, our Navy SEALs, to go through in training, then it's certainly good enough for terrorists. But I'm not sure they'll need to do that with this kid because I think he was probably a little bit frightened. I don't know. We'll see. We shall see. But it will play out here in the days ahead, and all I know is that they better give him some justice or give justice to the families. Here's me, Barbara. I'm thinking, cut his legs off.
There was an article that I read yesterday, I think it was. It might have been the day before, from Boston, that in March there were bombings, little bombs, that nobody got hurt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which even intrigues me even more than, how much have they missed. How much did they miss?
Exactly.
But we have to remember that only three actually, is it four now with the cop, or is that three? People lost their life, but there were a lot of people that lost limbs. There was a three-year-old girl, the daughter of this 8-year-old that was killed, who lost her leg. Her mother has a head injury. Will she ever be right again? We don't know. There was a man that lost both his legs as he waited for his fiance or his girlfriend to cross the finish line. He's the one that woke up and described one of the bombers. So he saw the bomber. So they've got evidence. They've got evidence, and should it go to trial, I think it's going to be pretty good evidence to hold them accountable. But, when I say things like, take off his legs, it's like, an eye for an eye. I can be quite vicious. But I have a belief that when you commit a crime in this country, and it's proven that you committed that crime, that you lose your rights. Because rights are inherent upon societal behavior. And I've always held that opinion for a long, long time. But others may not agree. That's okay. You don't agree? Give us a call, 718-305-7176. And we do have a caller. I wonder if this is our guest. Shall we see?
Yes, we shall.
Yes, we shall. Hi, who do we have at 732?
Hey, Barbara, Brenda, it's Kevin Fjola.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're so glad you're here. We are really glad you're here because we want to hear what you have to say. Now, how do you say your last name again?
Shola. Okay.
All right. Well, hey, here's what we like to do. We'd like you just to tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to go into a little bit about what you're doing and why you do it, and we're going to maybe even give us some juicy tidbits on Sarah. I don't know. Go ahead.
Sounds good. Well, let's see. What am I not doing right now? I'm not sleeping. Let's put it that way. My regular job, which is what it's been for quite some time now, I anchor sports and news, and I also announce for several pro and college teams. I've been writing a column for Breitbart for quite a while now, and I'm hosting the Palin Update on Saranet Radio, and we certainly invite everyone to come over and check it out. We have a new program each and every week, and we leave the old programs up there for people to tune in and listen to. It's at saranetradio.net. You can follow us on Twitter at saranetradio, and the show every week is all about Governor Palin, dedicated to news about what she's doing and what's going on with the governor. And we also have a guest, and we have a commentary each and every week from Sarah Steelman. So it's a lot of fun, and you know, we've had some wonderful feedback as long as this has been going. But yeah, we really appreciate you, you know, letting us get the chance to get the word out here on your great show.
Oh, yeah. We love to get the word out on all these conservative networks that are out there because we're all working for the same thing. And as for me, I do love Sarah Palin. I love a woman who knows her mind and isn't afraid to speak it. So,
yeah.
So how did you get involved in this, Kevin?
Well, you know what Sarah? That is? I got to say first, though, and what you just said there, that's one of the main reasons I think that most people who really are Palin backers or Palin supporters are for her. The unfiltered speak of, you know, the same way we all talk at home around our kitchen tables and the concerns that we all have, you get this from the governor again and again and again. No teleprompter, no political speak, you know, the things we're so sick and tired of from Washington, even from folks that we agree with on a lot of things. You say, put away the script already. How many times have we seen candidates, right, who their best speech happens to be the one when they drop out of the race because they finally talk and don't just read? So I do appreciate you saying that about Governor Palin. Long story short on the show, I was a supporter of the governor before she ever ran for vice president, even though I'm on the East Coast, you know, not in Alaska. But, you know, I caught wind of what she was doing and the incredible job she did up there, the unbelievable popularity rating she had at the time. And so took a look into it and actually thought about her as a possible vice presidential pick before she was picked. I sent her an email.
Wow.
You know, when she was pregnant with Trig, my daughter was due, they were due around the same time, and we had exchanged a couple of emails regarding that. Trig came about a month before my daughter, a few weeks before my daughter, so a little connection there. But so at the time, you know, I campaigned for the ticket in 08 and, you know, what a lot of us did at the time. And then I started to think, you know, I really was hoping that she was going to run for president. And I said, what could I do to help? And like I said, you know, still be able to do it on my schedule and on my time. So I said, well, you know, I'm a radio person. I'm a television person. I'm a writer. What could I incorporate here to help Governor Palin out and spread the word on her message? And the radio show just kind of fell into my lap as an idea. Saranet.net, just a, if you want Palin information, that's the site to go to. And they just took this show idea with open arms, full control over everything as far as guests and whatnot. But the original idea was thinking that perhaps she would run for president. So we wanted to get a show out there with real coverage of her potential run. Because as you, Brenda and Barbara, as you may have noticed, sometimes the media doesn't really cover things accurately. Have you noticed that by chance?
Really?
Oh,
are you
well, kidding? Yeah, you know. Wow.
You're supposed to hit the breaking news sounder here when I, you know, I'm giving some inside information.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
See, you know, those who didn't tune in tonight will not know this, but so that was the original idea, to have a place for people to go, because as you can imagine, you know, she gets trashed when she's sitting at home not bothering anybody, let alone if she'd be out on the campaign trail. So that was the idea. When she announced that she would not run, we were already a bunch of shows into it, and you know, I never even hesitated. I said, you know what, we're not going to stop doing this. It's such a good start. We had such a great guests right away. And then we said, you know, she's not running for president, but her ideas aren't going anywhere. Her values aren't going anywhere. She's certainly not going anywhere. And her young age, too, which, you know, she has a lot ahead of her, whether it will be political or not, we shall see. But so we kept it going. And in the meantime, we've just, you know, continued to spread the word of the things that she's been, because she's done so much in that time, even though she hasn't run for office. And then we've also had a lot of candidates on during the campaign season. And then other than candidates, just all walks of life you can imagine, from sports to movies to music. Anyone who, you know, believes in that little thing called the Constitution and Governor Palin and likes to come on and talk about it, we've had on. And it's been a great ride so far.
That's that little book, right?
Yeah, something along those lines, yeah. Something that the Piers Morgans of the world and whatnot, you know, put their noses up about and think is this, you know, thing that we just use to get at them and, you know, hate the left as we supposedly do. But, you know, this is that old game that we're not falling with, and they just can't stand that we're not going away.
They don't understand Americans, I don't think, because Sarah Palin is the true epitome of America, you know, not on, obviously, in Los Angeles or in New York, but I bet if you go, you know, you come here to Indiana, you come across the Midwest, you're going to find a lot of people that are kind of just like her. So, you know, and I don't think they get it.
Well, that's a great point, and it's very hard to believe what they don't get. And if there's not jealousy involved there, then what in the world is it? Because, you know, a lot of people say, and, you know, Orrin Hatch said this, and I thought he made a great point. He thinks they're just maybe a little, that she just has it all and can do it successfully, and it rubs people the wrong way because, as you know, people want government to tell you what to do. We're not allowed to make our own decisions with soda, let alone, you know, our life. So the fact that Sarah Palin can have the marriage, have the children, be the governor, go out there and get a nominee, first Republican nomination for vice president, have success in all she does, and do it with a smile despite all of the attacks, it really rubs them the wrong way. So, you know, and I have to mention, you know, the other reason I do this, honestly, is for my daughter, because I think there's no real better role model out there in the public eye than a Governor Palin, someone who can really take the shots that are so unnecessary and not back down. I mean, if you didn't know the history of what she's been through, and you look at her when she's interviewed now compared to, say, 06, 07, nothing's changed from her standpoint, except maybe the millions of people around her trying to, you know, get a picture with her or whatever. But she is the same personality, and that's really impressive. I think a lot of weaker people would have caved, and a lot of men certainly would have caved, and to have a woman doing this is even more impressive.
Right. And, you know,
you be a lot like me, because I don't back down either. I go full force. Come on, bring it on.
Well, there you go, and that's appreciated. I think that, you know, a lot of times people are taken aback by that, but, you know, I've always said I would rather have someone disagree with me on 9 out of 10 issues, but if they're telling me at least honestly how they feel, you can respect that, and you can disagree with that in this country. It's worse off when someone tells you they agree, and then they flip-flop, and then they go along to get along. And that's what I think the problem is right now with that Republican Party, you know, and that's, I know you guys wanted to talk tonight about why the left has such a...
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, why the left has such a problem with Sarah Palin. And I think that's one of the number one reasons. The number one reason is she is for everything this modern-day Democrat Party, this modern-day liberalism is against. You know, for America, for life, for freedom, for the Constitution, which we mentioned, for personal responsibility, all these things, for the Second Amendment, all these things that just make them quiver, traditional values. And so when there is someone out there with that message, and a woman, and someone with the following that she has, it terrifies them, and that's why they're after her all day, every day. They feel they can, when they get a Romney or they get a McCain or they get some of these other guys now, like a Christie, they know what they can do with them. They're not that much of an opposite from the guy they're running against. So all they have to do is paint them in a box, create a phony war on women, create a narrative about guns, are going to walk into a room and shoot everybody, sprout legs and start shooting. I mean, this is what they do. But with Sarah Palin, they can't do that because she is the opposite of what we have right now from the left. And she actually has a unique way of presenting it, and alternatives are offered. So, you know, they say she's irrelevant. They say, oh, what are we, you know, we'd love for her to be the candidate. Why is it no matter when she's mentioned, they are on top. I wrote an article for Breitbart a few weeks back. It was a sports piece. It was about, I interviewed Sarah's dad, and it was about how the Palins grew up, or the Heaths, I should say, her maiden name, how they grew up and why sports were important. The article was hardly political at all, and right away, all the comments come down, you know, bashing her, talking about her as this, you know, calling her a moron, calling names. And why are they there? If she's so irrelevant and they're not worried about her, why are they there talking about her in an article that had to do with basketball?
Right. Exactly.
Well, here's the thing. They went after her, the media, because they were scared. Because she was a strong woman, and she was a Republican woman, and she was a mother. And you want to talk about women rights. You know, they didn't want that. They don't want to have that conversation about a woman being appreciated for who she is and not what her body looks like.
Yeah, if you're not a white Protestant male and you are a conservative, they freak out. I mean, you see what they're trying it with Ted Cruz now. You know, Dr. Ben Carson spoke about this at CPAC. You know, you are shackled. You are part of us. How dare you go against the Democrat Party? We own you. That is the mantra. It's like a fraternity or a union on steroids. And that's the way they act. So when you have a woman that looks like, you know, Sarah Palin and has the abilities of Sarah Palin, oh, they freak out because they go, oh, wait a minute, she could maybe attract some young people, she could maybe attract some women, and they freak out because you're supposed to be with them, lock, stock, and barrel, no questions asked, my way or the highway. And if not, they don't just disagree with you, they hate you, and they go after you in a visceral, weird way. I mean, you've seen the things with Herman Cain, with Mia Love, when a black conservative is out there, the things they write about them on the internet, it's just absolutely disgusting. If a conservative ever did that, and rightfully so, they would be, you know, completely shunned. But here, no, they just look the other way. You can say anything you want about Sarah Palin or Michelle Bachmann or a conservative woman. You can use the C word. You can call them, and you can talk about their children, their babies, and say these things. And it's just fun. We're just having fun. Meantime, you know, Rush Limbaugh says one thing about Sandra Fluke, or Don Imus says something that he's been saying for 50 years about the Rutgers basketball team, and they're trying to take your job. It's hypocrisy, and it's ridiculous.
Well, they're trying to shut him down. They're trying to shut down the conservative radio, and that's why they go after him like that, because they're trying to control us through their propaganda machine, which is the mainstream media. And to do that, they've got to shut people like Beck and Rush Limbaugh and Hannity. They got it in Fox News. You know, they ridicule Fox News just as much as they ridicule Sarah Palin. And they do this because they want people to think that we're the stupid ones, and yet we are much more informed than these other people are, you know.
I think that's why all the lies are coming out from the White House now, from the administration. All these lies are starting to come out because we have a few senators up there that are saying, we're not taking it anymore.
Well, they're listening to it. They're listening. Yeah, go ahead.
And it's amazing, though, that it's, you know, like Ted Cruz is one of them, and, you know, he's been there all of 10 minutes, and he's already accomplished more than some of these career politicians have in 30 years. So
exactly.
Speaks very well of Senator Cruz, but it really also drives home, you know, the comedy of errors and the clowns that have been up there in Washington. You know, like our founders said, go there, serve, and then get the heck out of the way. Instead, they're sitting there for 55 years and just, you know, the debt's getting higher and the jobs are getting fewer and everybody's walking around like they're doing you a favor when gas comes down from $5 to $4, even though it was $1.83 when Bush left. So, you know, it's whatever. But you mentioned about...
That was a crime when it was above.
Right. Oh yeah, that was too high, right? Yeah. How can we afford that? That crazy oil man who started these wars. Yeah. Oh, I know. But you look at Sarah Palin and the way she's been able to find some of these candidates and back some of these candidates over recent elections have just been huge. You know, you look at the filibuster with Rand Paul a few weeks back. While half of these guys were out to dinner with Obama or just completely AWOL, almost everyone that stood there with Senator Paul at the time, it was someone that Palin had backed either in 2010 or this time around. So, you know, she definitely has a pulse on the right people, and she doesn't always pick. You know, listen, Ted Cruz, you're in Texas. He had a very good shot as it is, no doubt. But you look at Deb Fischer, for example, in Nebraska, who was not even in the polls when Palin jumped in and endorsed her, and she wound up winning that thing, a rancher. So, I mean, here you go. You have different types of people that Palin has endorsed. Cruz, you know, has this remarkable background. But then you look at, you know, she has a Paul Gosar, the congressman who she endorsed in Arizona. He's a dentist. Ted Yoho, a veterinarian. You know, all different walks of life, which is what it was supposed to be, which was how it was supposed to be designed. People bringing different ideas from all over the place instead of, you know, what the Obama folks want, far left, Berkeley-type liberal lawyer academic faculty room people. You know, they could solve anything in a textbook sitting in the lounge, but put them in New York City for 5 minutes and their wallet would be gone before they walked the block.
Yeah, I got to bring this up. And please don't cringe. Everybody in the audience, please don't cringe.
Am I going to cringe?
I'm cringing even having to say it because this is what I don't understand. I love Sarah. She tells the truth. And then they have Hillary, who's a lying sack of crap. She's been incompetent. She let four Americans die in Benghazi. She backed President Obama, saying it was a video which caused more riots. And these morons on the left think she's wonderful and she's going to run for president in 2016. To me, and for me, that is just a kick in the Americans' heads.
Well, Benghazi... you know, look at Obama's hissy fit he had the other day when the gun bill failed.
Oh,
I mean, he put 3-year-old girls all over America to shame with that little tantrum he pulled out there. Yet, Benghazi, where's the emotion there? First of all, he was Silent Sam for so long until he finally had to read off the teleprompter on it. Then look at Boston on Monday when the bombs first went off. You know, again, reading. You know, say what you want about President Bush, and there's a lot he did at the end that I did not like, the bailouts, you know, the whole deal.
Right.
But when he spoke that day on the megaphone in New York City after 9/11, he was talking from the heart, and he meant what he said, and you could tell. Barack Obama on Boston, again, it's, again, reading what your guys are writing for you, and the emotion isn't there, the feeling isn't there. Every speech, must we incorporate... Not all Muslims are bad. Don't, like, we didn't know this already? That's so inappropriate that he says this during all these speeches when America's guts are ripped out during what happened in Boston. Or, I mean, the same way they exploited kids in Sandy Hook, they're doing the same thing here with the Boston situation. So this shouldn't surprise you when you mention what you said about Hillary or whoever regarding Benghazi or anything on the left, it speaks about what we said earlier. That party sticks together no matter what, and that's why there's no problems as far as winning or assembling or community organizing, if you will, because they are all on the same page. It's a very far left page, but they're all on the same page, whereas this Republican Party is made up of constitutional conservatives, but then it's also made up of these, you know, squishy candidates who back down right away and are really, you know, Democrat light. So I think that that's what makes them such a powerhouse as far as the winning percentage and the cutthroatness of the whole thing. They'll do anything to win an election. Pelosi, Reid, Biden, they'll do anything to win an election, whereas, you know, a stand-up true patriot, you know, will not result to going after people's children or lying about someone or things of that nature.
Well, and part of the problem, too, Kevin, is that we, because we are informed, we all have our opinions. And sometimes when we need to coalesce, you know, because we didn't really want Romney. I mean, I got to kind of like Romney as I learned more about him. But, you know, I didn't want him to win the primaries. But we couldn't coalesce behind one candidate.
No, I didn't either. Yeah. And obviously Governor Palin didn't either. I mean, she never technically endorsed him, a full endorsement. She did support them. Her PAC did give to them and said, give him a chance. He's obviously, we were in such dire straits that he's obviously better than the current occupant of position. But I mean, you're right. It's the best part of conservatives from the standpoint that there is that fiery spirit and that, you know, I'm not going to give in and I'm going to expect the best. But it's the worst part from the standpoint of sometimes getting through once a primary is over. And I understand it because I'm usually with the people. But that's also kind of a double-edged deal, too, because it's if the conservative upsets the moderate or the establishment person in the primary, that's when everybody runs for the hills from the establishment. Whereas when the middle of the road Republican wins, like you said, you usually hold your nose as a conservative and vote for them anyway. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing we've seen over the years. When the conservative wins the primary fair and square, a lot of this establishment, they don't really like that because, they're going to come here and actually call even us out on some of the nonsense of these guys that are just there for the cocktail parties and, you know, doing what they have to do to, you know, these guys run for election every year. I mean,
you mean like John McCain?
Well, listen,
I'm sorry, that man is on my list to go.
I mean, you know, I think he's been on that list for quite a while for a lot of people, but boy, has he really upped it of late. I mean, you know, one of only four Republicans to vote for that liberal gun bill. Here he is again just bashing Ted Cruz and all these great conservatives that we mentioned that are out there fighting the fight in such an uphill battle when he should jump on board here. And, you know, rolling his eyes at them. Yeah, not, you know, the Rand Paul deal, same thing. Yeah. And here he goes again with more comments that are just, you just scratch your head. Like, it's really amazing. You don't know, you can't read a person's mind, but it really comes across to me as sour grapes and kind of almost a jealousy thing of like, my time has passed and now here are the new stars. And, you know, McCain's acting like it's 2000 and being like, well, what about me? And no one really cares about what he's saying in a way other than the fact that it's been very negative.
Well, you know,
here's part of the problem.
What did they bribe them with? Lindsey Graham and McCain, they went to dinner with Obama the night before the hoedown.
but so did Senator Coates, and he didn't back Obama. He was backing Ted Cruz, Senator Coates from Indiana. He went too because they don't get to talk to the president very often because his office isn't open and it's not a very open presidency. But here's the problem.
Yeah, remember this is nothing new from McCain. I mean, look at the election in 2008. I mean, he was in trouble anyway because the way the economy tanked at the just worst time possible. But also, he didn't help himself. Remember, every speech from McCain was the preface of basically, "Hey, Barack Obama's a great man, just like me, but vote for me instead." I mean, you know, you're 12 points down and you're saying things like that. Plus, this is a time where you could have hammered away at the fact that the man had zero experience, had the ties to Bill Ayers and Wright and all these other things that he was scared to do. Things that Governor Palin, incidentally, tried to do, but, you know, they muzzled her at every turn, thinking that that was the way to go because they were so scared of this perception of, oh, no, you can't go against Barack Obama. So that, you know, Governor Palin was so hampered there. She brought that ticket up to respectable. You know how many people voted were just horrified with McCain as the nominee.
Right.
Then inspired and excited. Because she was the vice president. I mean, they were going out and voting for a vice president. You've never seen that before.
Yeah,
you're right.
And unfortunately, they were talking, the Democrats weren't afraid to try to paint her with no experience, but she had more experience than Barack Obama.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, the old hypocritical game.
Look, if you do it,
and, you know, the line, I don't want to overuse this, but I find it to be very true. You know, they try to paint these pictures that they're for this, they're for that, they're for this, but really they're just for liberalism. And, you know, they can talk about women's groups and minority groups and all this, but if you were a, you know, a Jewish black lesbian woman and you were the Republican, they would still vote for the old white man if he was the liberal Democrat. And that's basically how they roll, okay? They try to say that they're for certain groups or for certain issues, but what they're for is control. They're for control of the people, whether it be what you eat, what kind of light bulb you have, what you're doing with guns, because God forbid you have any guns, and, you know, everything else. You cannot... Look, traditional America to them is a bad thing. They have a guilt complex. They have a problem with this country. It's blame, blame, blame. You saw the apology tour from the president. I mean, the president of the United States going over to other countries and telling them all the horrible things we did. America, the most exceptional place ever in the history of the world where people die trying to get here. You know, talk to someone who is not from here and now is a citizen. They will tell you, wow, this is what a place. You know, the patriotism from people who are immigrants sometimes is so much higher than someone who's a secular, you know, resident or just gets so lackadaisical about the whole situation. They have no appreciation at all for what we have.
Right.
And I'm going to clarify that about the immigrants. I'm going to say legal immigrants because there are illegal immigrants that come here just to get freebies from our country.
Well, listen, here we go with that again, too. I mean, what a week, right? I mean, can you imagine this whole Boston situation happens on the week that guns and immigration come up, and here you have these two maniac killers from another country setting off bombs in front of children and women that they looked right in the eyes before they did it, and here you're going to have these establishment Republicans trying to tell us, you know, hey, let everybody in. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And, you know, again, they do it incrementally. They do it incrementally. They try to do it with little things and tell you how we're looking out for you because, of course, we can't make our own decisions. And then they try to do it with big things. And every little and that was why, you know, Sarah Palin, the gun bill in particular, she spoke out very strongly about that, saying, I cannot and will not support anyone who's looking to, you know, hurt our Second Amendment rights, to paraphrase. And I really believe that it's, you know, you'll hear some similar things from the true conservatives about the immigration situation as things move forward there, too. But, yeah, I mean, you know, here's Marco Rubio now, you know. You saw Toomey support that gun bill. Now Marco Rubio out there, who a lot of conservatives like, you know, he's talking about this immigration situation and not backing it up with any kind of facts except just a touchy-feely deal.
Yeah, I'm not happy with him at all. He's off my radar.
No.
He's
absolutely. But look who they're pushing at you. Look who they're pushing at you for 2016 right now.
Oh, yeah.
Jeb Bush, Chris Christie, Marco Rubio. Are you kidding? I think I'm going to write in McCain and Romney.
There you go.
Well, this is where we've got to be on top of it. We've got to get a candidate, and we've got to start the groundwork before then. We have to get going. Way ahead
first
of time.
We've
got to
work
so
on the
running.
We have to work on the midterm here. Coming up next year, we really have to get the old out and the new in. We need new blood, People who were just like us, fed up with the crap that goes on up there and wants to stand up for the principles of the United States of America. Because united we stand, divided we fall, and we are dividing and we are falling.
Well, we'll have a great opportunity, especially in the primaries. You know, and if you can elect these folks in the primaries, then you, especially in states that lean Republican, if you can get a conservative to win the primary in a general that you're likely to win, that's the way to really force change, to make sure that conservatives get out there and vote in the primaries. And I think you saw a lot of that in 2010. I think you saw a lot of that in 2012 in some of the races that were successful. You know, Sarah Palin released a video a few weeks ago, shortly after CPAC, basically just kind of a almost like a pump-up video. You know, the kinds you see in the ninth inning when your team's down by two and they want to get the stadium going? It's the same kind of deal, just getting ready for 2014, all hands on deck, because we saw what a big deal it was in 2010.
Yeah.
With the Tea Party influence had on those elections. So I think there's a really good chance, you know, if people are paying attention at all. And look, it is tough to pay attention because when you have all the major media outlets reporting flat out just lying for the most part to cover people that they are for, it is tough for some average Americans who are working two jobs and taking care of their children or studying or doing whatever it is they're doing. You know, they were brought up to believe, oh, I'm reading the newspaper. This is the news, not that it's an opinion piece. And most of it really is. So if people are paying attention, there's certainly more than enough out there to make you think that people would want to vote for something drastically different than what's happening right now.
Right, and they just don't know. Like you said, a lot of them don't know because they're working. And where are they going to get their news? Because they're not like, you know, say you or I and Barbara and I are on the Internet. We're checking out the stories. I mean, but this accountability, I'm going to go back to this thing in Washington. There's an establishment. You mentioned it. We tried to push this home during the primaries, and they kept telling us, oh, there's no establishment. Who's the establishment? Well, the establishment is this group of people, Democrat, Republican, in Washington, with their hands in the money pie and all the power that want to keep it. And that's what we're seeing with John McCain and Rand Paul and Ted Cruz. That's why he is angry, because, you know, he's earned his time to be at the top, and who do these little whippersnappers think they are coming up there trying to change the rules of the game, you know? And so, yeah, it's we've got to change the rules of the game, and that's how we do it one at a time. So, but
the game that we want to be in on.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it's isn't it amazing though that we're sitting here saying this, that what is it that Ted Cruz and Rand Paul are doing? They're talking about the Constitution. They're talking about what
yeah.
this country is based
the
on. They're
people.
Talking about are you know that they are saying I work for you. You don't work for the government. Okay, what it's supposed to be. All right, it's a very simple yet very tremendous system. If it's put to work the way it's supposed to be. But when you have a president who's, you know, signing executive order after executive order, usurping the branches of government any chance he gets, making sure activist judges are involved, you know, it gets tough. And the peer pressure and the threats against folks like Cruz and Paul and those not elected like Palin who are out there saying these things, it gets tough because, you know, you are painted as all these right-wingers, these Tea Partiers, blah, blah, blah. Meantime, half the people saying it are out of work or underemployed, and they just don't even realize why these things are happening. But you know what? Look what we're dealing with here. I mean, did you see the latest pay? First of all, a few weeks back, do you remember when they reported it was a obvious parody piece, but they reported that Sarah Palin took a job with Al Jazeera?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who would read that would go, okay, then what is this? And you read that it's satire. Here, this journalist goes out there and runs the thing that she was actually going to work for. I mean, they'll fall for anything. And then just today, another outlet put that Sarah Palin wants to attack the Czech Republic.
Oh, my God.
And so, and someone actually reported this as actual news. Now, as a guy whose great-grandmother came over on a boat as a young girl by herself from the Czech Republic, or at the time Czechoslovakia, let me say I didn't believe it at all as soon as I read it. But these people actually believe this, because this is where some people get their news from. They get their news from satire. You know, they're watching these shows and watching whatever it is they want to watch, or they're just learning from, or just from Hollywood influence. I mean, it's just pounded away in your head. I look at this Earth Day nonsense, for example. Everywhere you turn, you're told it's Earth Day. It felt like it's been Earth Day for 55 days already. All I'm told about is how I have to love bugs, and if I don't recycle, I should get the death penalty. But by the same token, I can't say Christmas. You know, I can't say Jesus. I can't, I can't have a gun. I can't have a Pepsi. But I have to make sure that I recycle everything. I mean, it's just, so, you know, you have this at a very young age. All the kids' shows, you're pushed at this green thing is pushed at you. When it's, and look, most conservatives I know are more stewards of the earth than anybody else. Everybody cleans up their thing. They're hunters, they're campers, they're hikers, what have you. But by the same time, they're not worshipers, and there's a big difference there. And you've seen a lot of this. This is their priorities. This is what you're worrying about. I mean, Mayor Bloomberg coming out the other day, a big conference, I will fight on, when his soda pop bill was turned down. This is the most important issue in the world? And this is unbelievable.
Who are the loonies that vote for this man?
In New York. The students in New York, you graduate without reading.
Well, yeah, some districts they push you through. As a matter of fact, for instance, if you are a English second language student, some districts you are not allowed to fail them. So in other words, no fault of the child, but certainly has not met the standards, because they're already at a disadvantage. Okay, so what's the problem with, you know, all right, well, we got to do this again to make sure you're ready to roll? No, we just move them through. And in the meantime, your regular average kids, they're the ones lost in the shuffle, because they're not, you know, they're just kind of looked the other way. But, you know, I got to tell you, there's a lot of good teachers out there, too. I feel bad for a lot of them, because they are bullied. You know, we talked about the mentality of the Democrat Party. Same thing with the unions and the teachers' union. I mean, they are bullied to no end. When, of course, there's conservative teachers out there. Sarah Palin's brother is a teacher. Her dad was a teacher. But sometimes people feel like they have to be quiet when they're in the educational setting, because they know they're so undermanned. And I mean, can you imagine paying union dues and all your union dues goes to advertisements for Democrat candidates? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but you know, they get to write all that off on their taxes, so they get that money back.
And if you say anything about it, though, that you don't want to be a part of it or whatever, well, they tell you to take a hike, so you're worried about your job.
And this is why they fight vouchers. They fight the voucher program, because that will take students away from the union and actually put education in the parents' hands, you know, to choose. And they fight it, you know.
It's a bullying situation. There's a lot of bullies out there, whether it be from, that type of thing, the union situation, or in the media. You know, if you don't think the way I think, well, then right away you are a racist, you're a homophobe, you are a hateful person. You know, what happened to... look, I can disagree with you, you can disagree with me, and we can talk about it. I'm not going to agree with you, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to treat you with respect and dignity and like a citizen of this great country. And that's the thing I never understood. Well, I understand it, unfortunately, but it's the thing that irks me and really makes me fight for Governor Palin more than ever, is the treatment she gets, the hateful treatment. You want to say you don't like anything she says and you disagree with her on everything? That's fine. Go right ahead. You know, I'd rather have someone say, look, I'm a left-wing nut, and be honest about it, than this, that woman and the types of comments they make, it's just disgusting. I mean, the way they talk about her family and the way they, you know, even now, I mean, not to defend it at any point, but at least you knew what they were doing when she's running for office, trying to prevent someone with great American values get elected. But here, just any time her name is mentioned, the way that the left, you know, does it, and worse than the left, are the people that just chuckle or go, oh, yeah, that's a standard joke or that kind of thing. You know, these Republican men who don't do anything or stand up for her or other women, and not even elected women, any women who are talked about in that way. It's the men that run for the hills and don't speak up. That's just, you know, that's pathetic.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it is, and it's disrespectful to women, and that's the real war on women, is when they take a good woman who is a smart woman, and you know she's a smart woman, you don't get to be governor by being stupid, people. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. And, you know, they want to take things out of context. But you know what? Alaska borders, I mean, Russia's right there. So you know she's briefed on what's happening with Russia and the Air Guard and everything out there. But, you know, you can't talk about that stuff when you're governor of Alaska because that's classified. But, you know,
yeah, and they take comments.
Like a general stupid woman it's unbelievable, actually. And then turn around and say that the Republicans have a war on women.
Yeah. Well, remember, they take comments that she didn't even say, and go ahead and, you know, they accredit them to her when they were said on Saturday Night Live or wherever. And this is something, but this is an old game, too, you know, and it's actually one of the best compliments you get from them. They did it to Reagan. They did it to Quayle. They're doing it to her. Usually when they call you dumb, that basically means they don't have any actual tangible dirt on you.
Exactly.
You know, you notice you never hear anyone saying Obama's dumb or any of these people are dumb. Far from it. Or that's why I cringe when the Romneys and the McCains of the world say, oh, he's over his head. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's trying to make the country a far-left socialist European nation. He's a very bright guy. So that's what I don't understand when people pull that nonsense. And they do just the opposite to people like Governor Palin. But I remember there was this is an old game. They've just done it, you know, harder at her because she's a woman, and also we see more of it because of the internet and because of all the access and the 24-hour news cycle. But I remember with Dan Quayle when they started with the potato and the whole thing. You know, meantime, Al Gore, who was his counterpart and ran against him in '92, you know, said a couple of goofy things himself.
Invented the internet.
Right. Well, so before Gore invented the internet, and thank you, Senator, I do appreciate you for, you know, hooking me up with Twitter, or Twit in Al's case. But you know what? I do think that, you know, he said something along the lines of a zebra losing its spots. He was at Monticello, and there was a bus there, and he goes, "Who's this guy?" Okay. Now, look. I'm not even going to go after Gore on that because I think it's nonsense no matter what. I want to be consistent.
Right.
But if Quayle would have done it, or if Reagan would have done it while running, or right now with Sarah Palin, or George W. Bush, or anybody that they want to paint in a certain way. But they do this with everything. You know, look at the way look how things are covered, okay? Look at the anti-war rallies when the Gulf War started, okay? Everybody would have these pictures of Bush dressed, you know, with devil horns, Nazi symbols, Hitler, this and that. But on the news, they'd show one poor woman who lost her son with, like, a peace sign in the corner, and that's the picture they'd use. Meantime, you go to a Tea Party rally, there's never any trouble at all. And the one time, they'll go to, like, 200 of them and find one nut who writes something crazy on the sign, and that's the guy they'll show on TV.
Or they plant the guy. You don't even know if he's not planted there because, actually, let's look at it. The Colorado just had this big pot thing. And did you guys see the pictures of the mess they left?
Yes, but because, I looked into it, but, yeah, it wasn't much anywhere.
No, but you don't see that at a tea party.
But you also didn't see much coverage. There also wasn't much coverage of that story, though, and I'm surprised that you even knew about it, and I appreciate that you did, but think about it. No one talked about that this week. That was completely buried, and there was some violence there, too. But look at Occupy Wall Street, the rapes that went on there, the defecating on police cars, absolute crazed lunatics, and here everybody, oh, it's so wonderful what the people are doing. I mean, are you kidding me? And, of course, what's going on right now, the abortionist, Kermit Gosnell, murdering hundreds of babies, hundreds of babies, snapping their necks. I mean, you read this grand jury report, you got to have a stronger stomach than me to get through it because I couldn't do the whole thing. But I do have a friend who did read the whole thing and got the entire take on that and had to just say, okay, you can stop now. But what was done there, charged with murder on many counts, even though a judge today dropped some of them. But why in the world is that not the top story all day, every day? Instead, we're talking about gay marriage? I mean, it's unbelievable. Sandy Hook, the awful situation. I have small children. The awful situation in Sandy Hook and those children that were gunned down by a maniac, awful. That said, all of these babies that were murdered by Gosnell, some people don't even know his name if you say this to someone or know this story. How do you not know this story? He could go down as the biggest serial killer of all time.
And they
Which
had the
should
media
be the
blackout
headline.
On that.
And he wasn't even a doctor. He's not an OBGYN. Why is he doing these procedures? And then the liberals try to turn it around and say, well, see, this is because they won't let us have late-term abortions.
Something Barack Obama voted for multiple times, by the way, as a state senator. But you know what? I think that also in the Gosnell situation, you have he had people working for him with no medical background. They were basically just interns, and he allegedly had some of them conduct some of these murders. So this is what you're looking at now. There, the one thing you can hang your hat on a little bit here, there are some great people who have been in the courtroom this week. Alveda King, Martin Luther King's niece, who's a friend of Saranet Radio. She's there. Frank Pavone, the priest, her priest for life, who was very involved with Terri Schiavo during her last days, he was there as well. So I could tell you this, we may not get it in the newspaper, but we're going to get the real deal from some real people who are there. So it's good to know that at least somebody is involved and will see this thing through.
Yeah, absolutely. The most horrendous.
You know, it's times like this where I'm not happy about us having a constitution because people like that should just be drawn and quartered.
Oh, how about we just snip his spinal cord and see what happens?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, listen.
There I go again. I was going to say, crazy woman, but, you know, it's like.
No,
really.
No, but you know what? It's a great point you're making, actually, because here this will go to the hypocrisy again. You just said that. You would actually have people say that was horrible that you just said that.
Oh, no.
Yet there are Facebook pages. There are Facebook pages that say, I forget the exact verbiage, but basically, oh no, I woke up, but Sarah Palin's still alive, and it has a picture of a cartoon with a gun to her head. So that's okay. Ha ha. Someone who's a family woman and a great Christian and a wonderful American. But meantime, if you say that about a maniac, you know, and you look at Sarah Palin, look, she's all for this stuff too in extreme cases. Look at the Jerry Sandusky situation. Sarah Palin was the one who said, hang him on the highest tree, I'll bring the rope. Okay?
Right.
And you know, I'm sorry. To me, this is still a country and a world that when it comes to child molestation, child abuse, in this case murder or rape or what have you, it's time, you take care of that any way you need to take care of that.
Right, absolutely. Well, if anybody wants to call in or has a question, give us a call at 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. We're talking to Kevin Scola of SarahNet.net or SarahRadioNet.net.
SarahNetRadio.net.
Okay, I got it backwards. Okay. And
also what I wanted to say,
if you have a question, feel free to call us and ask. Go ahead, Barbara. Sorry.
Yeah, and the easiest thing to do, you know, you can always just go to on Twitter at Sarahnet Radio, SARAHNET Radio. And I'm also on Twitter at Kevin Scholla, KevinSchollla, or right to the website, SarahNetRadio.net. And we're on Facebook too, Kevin Scholla and Sarahnet Radio on Facebook.
Awesome.
Cool.
And it's
sure
just an awesome job. We've got to keep the message alive. You know, we've got to keep the message alive, and whether it's coming from Sarah or Rand Paul or Ted Cruz, even Rick Santorum is out there spreading the message of life and liberty. And so, you know, whatever groups, these are all great. And we're all working, and we're all working hard, and we got to get these grassroots, you know, involved in this election process so that we don't have another catastrophe.
You would hope so. You would hope that people will be able to work together, you know, for the common good. I mean, so often another thing we find in the movement sometime is, you know, people say, well, I'm for this candidate or I'm for this cause, but as long as I get all the credit for it, you know, that's kind of a thing we see sometime too, a lot of that you don't see from the left. I mean, when that left machine is ticking, I was at an event a few weeks back, a Tea Party event, and they had Americans for Prosperity there speaking, and they just talked about, like, what an absolute machine that left wing of the Democrat Party is when it comes to turnout, when it comes to, you know, sending those postcards and making those calls to your congressperson or your senator. I mean, they're going to do it. And a lot of times conservatives will have the right idea. They'll moan about it to their friends at work or at their little league game or at their church, but they won't say anything to Washington. So then you look at the guy at Washington, and they're counting all those calls. They're counting every time somebody calls with a pro, a con, a thumbs up, a thumbs down. And when they go ahead and see that it's not coming from the other side, they assume that we're for this sweeping, massive gun control. They assume that we're for gay marriage. They assume that we're okay with Obamacare. Or at least they know it, and they just use it as their thing. Well, my constituents say, you know, that kind of deal. So it's you got to speak up. That's one thing you can do, and it doesn't take a lot. You just go online, you click a few buttons. You can do it real easily just to let them know you're accounted for.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
petitions, phone calls. Go ahead, Barbara.
I make phone calls. I have Kay Hagan. I call her all the time. And I write to her. Not once has she written back in any way, shape, or form. Not even thank you. This is my position on that situation. Nothing like that. And she's the senator of the whole state. And that was the excuse that her aides over there were telling me, oh, well, she's got the whole state of North Carolina. Well, I am part of that state, this state. And I deserve, as a resident taxpayer here, I deserve her attention as well. But because, and I'm not the only one that's complained about it. There have been several people that complained about it. She's one of those people that got to go because she's so wrapped up in self. That
it's not uncommon, and it's very unfortunate. They are in it for all the wrong reasons. You know, it's a power grab. I mean, look at all these people who go into office with modest means, and they come out with all this money. You know, it's a cesspool of you do what I say, then I'll do this for you, when you're supposed to go there and serve the people. You're supposed to be a public servant. And people today almost scoff at that idea. That's a little too milk and cookies for them, like, oh, deal with the real world kind of thing. Well, you know what? That is the real world if we demand it to be. And that's the way our representative should be. I mean, again, going back to Palin endorsed Ted Cruz, so far so good on all angles. And, you know, he's not been in there a long time. But if anybody wants a template or a textbook on how to act and what to address and who to consult when you need to consult. You know, there's a guy who's doing it right now, so it can be done. Look, I understand there's a lot of pressure there. That place is, you know, Washington will eat you alive. And
yes.
But if you have the back, if you have the backbone for it, and you have the spine for it, and you have the drive to be able to, you know, kind of shut all that stuff out and keep focused, you know, that's the thing. And that's why I think people, you know, who support Governor Palin, you know, really hope that something happens down the road with her one way or another, because you know she doesn't back down.
I'd like to see her run. Doesn't she have a house in Arizona?
Well, there's been talk, you know, a lot of people have said, you know, if she does not run for the presidency, and of course it's all rumors, it's all conjecture, but yeah, there, people have spoken about a possible Senate run, not only possibly in Alaska, but also perhaps in Arizona, and as far as the logistics of residency and all that stuff, you know, you'd have to see how that works. But hey, look, we're going to find out A, B, or C, you know, within not too long a time, because obviously if she ran for Senate, she wouldn't run for president in 2016. If she didn't run for Senate, then at least that door's open. And if she doesn't, the one great thing about Sarah Palin is, even if she doesn't run, and I know that would make a lot of people not happy because, you know, so many Palin backers do want her to, you know, get involved in that high-profile position. But even if she doesn't, the good thing to keep and remember in your heart is that she has that unique way of still affecting culture and affecting change that a lot of others do not. I mean, how many other people who have run for elected office, when they are not running, have the following that she has, or have the websites that she has, or have the books that she has, or just the, you know, the overall chatter? When someone runs and then they're out of office, they're an afterthought. Yeah, people go, oh, yeah, I like that guy. You mentioned him, whatever. But that's about it. I mean, you know, the way so Palin can do this, and we saw that proof positive in these primaries with the people that she backed. I mean, she just, you know, Ted Cruz said the phones just lit up like Christmas trees once she endorsed him. You saw the same thing with Fisher, with the others in the Senate that she endorsed, with the two congressmen that I mentioned, and even those that did not go on to win, like Steelman and Kirk Adams and some of the others that she endorsed. You just saw that it got, if it didn't at least get a victory, it got the conversation out there, and it showed people after they did elect the less than savory person, they could look back and say, oh boy, Palin was right on that one.
Yeah, and it's great that they, because she doesn't have to do that. I mean, she could just totally, you know, disappear and say, I'm not putting up with this nonsense, you know, anymore.
Yeah.
And so when they do that, it gives you a great respect for them to be out there and still promoting what they believe, you know. And Ted Cruz, I have to say, Ted Cruz was actually our boss, Michael B. Smith, is from Texas, and he was big in that Ted Cruz campaign. He did a lot of groundwork, a lot of grassroots work there for Ted Cruz in Texas. So they worked hard, and you can make it happen. Hey, we got rid of Lugar here in Indiana. Unfortunately, we didn't get Murdoch in over Donnelly. That several reasons.
But
one was the third party run that took 100,000 votes. One was that Lugar, as McCain, was one of those that thought he deserved to be there, and he refused to endorse Richard Murdoch because
that was another compromise,
and Richard wasn't going to compromise.
Yeah.
And so
Palin-backed candidate. Palin endorsed Murdoch, and then you saw, and if the whole Aiken nonsense didn't go down, Murdoch's comment probably wouldn't have hurt him as much as it may have, because everybody was piggybacking on Aiken, who where you had Steelman there, who should have been the candidate. So, you know, everybody just went the wrong way on that, where Palin had, you know, if you would have had Steelman and Murdoch in the Senate right now, let's just say that would be a good deal. That's the quick way to say it.
Because Richard Murdoch, very conservative also. But here's the problem. They've got to learn to not fall for the trap. That's what the media does. They put these traps out there for them. And because they take it out of context and make them say something they didn't say. You know, and but Richard's case wasn't just that comment. Richard Lugar had so many, there were so many people mad that he didn't win the primary that they wouldn't vote for Richard Murdoch. I know that. I'm in
Indiana.
I was manning phones. I know this, you know. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, no. you know, he beat Luger. And see, Luger was such a sore loser, he didn't even endorse a Republican candidate. And you had Evan Bayh, who is actually a pretty decent Democrat, if you got to have one, endorsing Donnelly. So there were several components at play here in Indiana. But
yeah, it doesn't surprise me, and it's what we talked about, you know, about when the primaries are lost and the conservative wins the primary, the sour grapes come out. And, you know, this happened back in 2001 in New Jersey when Brett Schundler won the gubernatorial nomination fair and square, a great conservative who was in the mayor of Jersey City, which is so liberal, yet he was able to get elected there. And then as soon as he won, the establishment in New Jersey didn't help him out. Christine O'Donnell got the shaft in the Senate race in Delaware, same thing. But when you mention about traps and they're ready to trap you, you know what? It's bad enough when it's a trap, but how about when you go into it already knowing that the trap is set? You look at these debates. They're run by these far-left moderators, yet Republicans go in there and they still try to be liked by them.
I know, it's crazy. I mean, crazy in this Candy Crowley and that
right.
button her
I mean,
nose
you need
in.
To go
I
in
mean,
there.
Really?
You need to go into those debates and say, hey, I know that you're going to slam me and that you're against me and that your questions are going to be gotcha questions at me and they're going to be soft at my opponent, but thank you for having me. Let's start the debate. And if you
yeah.
did that each yeah. and every time, at least you laid that out there. And you know what? Even some lefty outlets would put that out there because of the fact that it has a little life to it, a little juice to it. So, but instead of going out there and trying to hem and haw and, oh, okay, let's pretend it's fair. We don't want to come across. Haven't we tried that already for the last 10 years? It doesn't
right.
work. Cut it out already.
Right.
Be a real person. Speak from the heart. Stick to the Constitution. Don't take any nonsense, and you got a better chance because you're already losing the other way. So this way you
right.
either win or you lose swinging.
Right.
Yeah.
And Titan 92 in the chat room, we have a little chat going, says, Rom, good politicians know how to not fall into traps. I don't want good politicians. I want a real man like Ted Cruz and Richard Murdoch who's going to go there and fight for my rights. I don't want some smooth-talking politician who can talk his way again around any issue. I don't want that.
You nailed it.
That's
you know what? You almost said exactly what I said a couple weeks ago. I was on Dr. Gina Loudon's show regarding a Sarah Palin incident, and I said the same thing. I referred to Palin as a politician, and then I stopped and I said, wait a minute, I hate to even call her that. Because it has become a word that it used to just mean someone involved in politics. But you're right. When you hear politician, you know what comes to your mind right away. This is, you know, P.T. Barnum or, you know, there's trickery and chicanery involved here. Smoke and mirrors. You know, I don't want a politician. I want a person.
Right. Exactly. And that's Titan was saying I misunderstood her, but I really don't. I want somebody who's going to say it like it is, and I want them to tell me the truth, and I want them to speak from their heart. I don't want the teleprompters. You know, I don't want the canned speeches. I want a real person, you know, and that's what we need. We need more real people so that we can get real representation, and that's the only way we're going to get it. Only way.
You know,
so
here in North Carolina, we turned red this year. Woo-hoo!
back to where you belong, right?
Yeah, man, I was very excited, but it ended up from Charlotte. The Charlotte Observer put out that there's a nonprofit organization that somehow led back to George Soros money, saying that they were going to get Pat McCrory for everything. They were going to nitpick him and stand up to him and all this other stuff. Now, you know, Pat McCrory's in office and he's seeing, you know, he's now in there and saw the mess that the previous governors, the two, because one, Mike Easley, he ended up being so corrupt that we lost a lot of money in this state, and we are stuck with it. So he's trying to pull the reins in, saying, okay, this is enough. We've got this, you know, and he's trying to work toward getting everything together. And people think that he's a loser. And I'm just like, go for it, dude, because that's what we need.
Yeah, we really need it. It's gotten to the point where people say they don't want the same, they don't want politicians, but as soon as someone starts to speak from the heart or starts to, you know, say, look, I'm a regular person trying to do what's right for my country, your family, and mine, well, then they're painted as, I don't know, they're not really a politician. So at one point, you're saying you don't want a politician, and then in the next sentence, you're saying, well, this person isn't, or at least they're portrayed that way, you know, by the media. And that's a lot that Governor Palin has gone through. You know, anyone who really looks at her record, anyone who really looks at what she's done, the things she has done, bipartisanship, stood up to not only the good old boys club, but to oil, to a lot of, it's not just, you know, a Democrat thing. She had a lot of Democrat support in Alaska. And you look at the things that she's done, able to work together, able to actually produce, you know, you'd be hard pressed to actually have that information and then try to agree with this false narrative that's put out about her in so many outlets.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So give us your quick opinion here, Kevin, and do you think she's going to run?
You know what? Look, we got so emotionally, and when I say we, I said anybody who's a huge Palin backer, a Palinista, if you will, we got so emotionally invested in a possible run in 2012. And that is she gonna, is she not gonna? And you know, she was kind of playing that deal with the media, like not saying yes, but not saying no. And I know it frustrated a lot of people, but I loved it because, you know, I figured I can take it, and I know it's driving the left absolutely bananas. So I kind of enjoyed that. But, you know, she's not doing that right now. She's just doing her thing, you know, endorsing great candidates, helping great potential candidates, and putting the issues out there, calling Obama out for every move he makes, you know, trying to give that transparency to the people that was promised from the administration but far from delivered. You know, Palin's doing her own digging to do that. So, you know, I'm not copping out on you here. I don't know. One moment I feel, you know, when she puts a video out like they put out from her political action committee a few weeks ago, you're like, wow, that you know, that's got to be fired up. She's going to be running here, or just some of the ways she, you know, speaks sometime. But then other times you think, well, you know, but then she talks so highly of a Rand Paul or some other people who may be a potential candidate. You just don't know. But I do know this. I know that whether she runs or not, that she will affect change positively. And I also believe truly that she will make the right decision one way or another, and it will be the right decision not only for her, but I think for the country, because she comes about decisions in the right way. She decides things through prayer, through common sense, through, you know, the things that she holds dear, which is, of course, her faith and her family and her country. And I think that the decisions will be made the right way. But make no mistake about it, she's not going anywhere. And remember, she's, what, 49 years old? We got a long time to talk about this, whether it happens this cycle or next or whatever. But I do know she's going to be there, and that's really good news.
Yeah, I was just thinking that when you said that, we do need her in the field. We need her doing what she's doing to get the good people there, and then maybe Ron. You know, I'm kind of doing this whole little thing in my head.
Wow, it's great that she's out there, and it's good to know. Some people may not know Herman Cain is still out there. He's lecturing at the schools. He's behind the scenes. He's getting together with Ben Carson to try to figure out how they can work in the black urban communities and try to get the message out that we conservatives really are for the poor, but the best thing for the poor is jobs. and you create jobs, you know, by decreasing regulations. So there's a lot of great people out there working, and so hopefully we're going to see some good results of that coming up in the midterm elections, if we can hold off this assault. And we hold off this assault, people who are listening, by calling your senators and your house, writing letters, go online. Everybody's got petitions. Go to the NRA, sign their petition. Go to the White House, sign as many petitions as you can, because that's the way we can affect until we can actually get the people we need in place to get this country back on track. So, but hey, no, Kevin, I want to thank you for doing what you're doing. Plug your radio thing again, Sarah.
Yeah, well, Brenda, Barbara, thank you both very much. And I know the work you do in oncology, and just the two of you together with what you're doing here on the radio, it's just really appreciated. And I really appreciate you having me on. And real quick before I go, I thanks for the opportunity to get the word out about our program and what we're doing for Governor Palin and for America, really. Again, it's sarahnetradio.net. And you can follow us on Twitter at SarahNetRadio and at Kevin Scholla, S-C-H-O-L-L-A. We're also on Facebook, Kevin Scholla and SarahNetRadio. And tune in. All of our shows are there, so you can listen all the way back to our first show, to this week's current show. We have a great dynamic candidate for Virginia Lieutenant Governor Susan Stimson, our guest, who I think y'all would really like to hear. And last week's show was just remarkable. We had Owen Grosser, the Down syndrome middle schooler, who hit a couple of three-point shots when he got to play in the final game of his junior high basketball game, and Governor Palin highlighted him, and just an incredible young man. He came on with his mom. So, you know, we run the gamut on the guests, but we appreciate it. And every week, Sarah Steelman, who another one who is not elected but is added every day, gives a commentary at the end of our show. So, anybody want to stop by, it's sarahnetradio.net.
Awesome. And what night are you on?
Well, we have a new show every weekend, but every show is there anytime on demand. So if you head over, you can click on any of the shows, and we update a new one every weekend. And there's a bunch of other stuff throughout the site once you get there, too. We have articles, and we have some of the Palin-endorsed candidates other than Steelman are also there contributing a little bit. Dan Bongino, Martha Zoller, and some of our other friends, Bader Carmoot and others, who have done some great work for us. So, it's a big spectrum, but it's all based on, if you like Governor Palin and you love this country, you'll probably enjoy SarahNet Radio.
Background
awesome.
Check
awesome.
Should have started with you, Barack Obama.
That was the best of all. But thanks again, Kevin. They posted those links in the chat room, so everybody check those out, and let's fight this fight. And we're going to take a quick break, and we shall return.
Thank you, Kevin, so much.
Have a wonderful night.
Is your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higgin Resch sent you. thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. The FAA has begun furloughing employees in order to save $200 million as required by sequestration. 47,000 employees at the agency will be furloughed. 13,000 of them are air traffic controllers. A pair of senators today unveiled a plan that would prohibit the FAA from shutting down 149 towers starting on June 15th. The White House says that only Congress has the power to turn the sequester off. The Associated Press had its Twitter account hacked into today. Whoever did it tweeted that there were a pair of explosions at the White House and that President Obama had been injured. The false alarm actually caused U.S. stocks to temporarily fall. Stock prices quickly rebounded, however, after the AP revealed that it had been hacked. And the Environmental Protection Agency has objected to the State Department's latest review of the Keystone XL oil pipeline. The EPA is suggesting that more work must be done before the Obama administration can determine whether to approve the 1,200-mile northern leg of the project. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome back to Women Patriots of ConservativeNationRadio.org. Our number is 718-305-7176. What an awesome guest, Barbara.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
It's just really nice to have to know these people are out there and they're working. And they're all working just because, you know, we love this country. And it's just great. It's just great to know that's going on. So, wonderful news there. We don't know if we should approve the pipeline. Oh, good Lord. Just approve it already. You know, the EPA, let's get rid of the EPA, okay? This sequestration nonsense, get rid of the EPA. I think we could save a lot of money just getting rid of one of those departments we don't need, and also the Department of Education, which is not constitutional, and we don't need it either. Let's get rid of those, and then we'll solve two problems. We'll have oil pipelines running through the country, and we'll get rid of, you know, we'll get our education back in the localities where it belongs. That would be a great, great improvement over what we got going on now. So if you've been listening to us tonight, we really appreciate you tuning in. You'll find us here every Tuesday night. We're on from 6 Central to 8 Central every Tuesday, hoping to bring you some more great guests as we just did with Kevin Shola. If you want to check out our shows in the archive, just go to conservativenationradio.org. Go to the CNR shows, click on Women Patriots. Our shows are all archived there under little buttons. We've had Ben Shapiro and some other great guests. You might want to check out what they had to say when they were on with us. So be sure and do that. Tomorrow night we have coming up Radio Free America with Duke Brooks. It's our Wednesday night show. So you'll want to tune in for that also.
He changed from Monday to Wednesdays.
Wednesday,
and he should be calling in soon.
Okay. Is he calling? Okay. So he can plug that show for when he does call in. But, it's just amazing what these liberals will do to a good, good person like Sarah Palin or Ben Carson. They're doing it to Ben Carson now. And because Star Parker has been sending emails to me. So you don't know Star Parker. She's also a conservative black woman working for the Urban Cure along with Stacey Swimp and some others who are trying to bring about change at the community level. Because many of these people just vote Democrat because they've been Democrats all their lives, or they believe the lies of the left, they're not better off.
Barack Obama just because he's black. They don't even
because
know what the
black.
Issues are.
And yet we're racist.
Yeah.
I think racist is when you vote for somebody because of the color of their skin. I think that would actually come under the term racist. And yes, okay. If you're black, you can be racist. And if you're Asian, you can be racist. And, you know, anybody can be a racist. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. Justice Holder doesn't believe that, but he's wrong. You don't have to be in a minority to have racism. Yes. And I had somebody actually, I saw a question today on this bomber, if they would charge him with a hate crime.
Oh.
Kind of an interesting question, isn't it? That's not what he's been charged with, but, you know, why wouldn't you charge him with a hate crime?
Well, this is true. Between a hate crime and treason, because now he's an American citizen.
Yes. And I think they charged him with using a weapon of mass destruction. Is that what they charged him with?
I believe
something like
that.
But, but, you know, didn't charge him with terrorism or anything of that sort, but which would all stick. So I don't know if they're just going for the charge that they know they can make stick. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing. But even though he's young, folks, and the media's going to spin it like he was brainwashed, he is guilty of a horrible crime. We must not forget the victims, the three-year-old who has lost a leg and whose mother may never be the same, and who lost her little brother, or the father that lost that child and now has a wife who has a head injury. We don't know the extent because they won't tell us, and now a handicapped daughter. And so we must not forget, ever forget, that situation going into this trial, because they're going to try to make you do it. They're going to try to make you forget that and paint him as some poor abused little boy. So, and at 3:02, I believe. Hello, 3:02. This is Duke.
Hello there, Linda. Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
How are you?
This is your worst nightmare that could possibly happen. It's your friend, Duke.
Oh,
at least you're calling us now, and we're not calling. I'm not calling you.
Absolutely, it's Radio
now
Free
the
America.
Tables are turned.
Yes, well, we do that just to keep the left guessing. You know, we just want to present a highly moving target for those guys.
There you go.
Radio Free America. Yeah, we're now on Wednesday nights, and that's
okay.
The reason I'm calling tonight. To tell everybody that tomorrow night we're going to be talking, of course, about the Boston bombing a little bit and about mm-hmm. how the suspects have been brought down. And we're also going to be talking about North Korea, a subject that no one has heard in this country for the last 5 or 6 days.
True.
And that's basically where we are. And, of course, all the calls from people that normally call in. Maybe Mr. Colorado will call in tomorrow night and explain why all of us white people are all a bunch of racists.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that one. sounds like a great show. And you're right. Nobody has been talking about Korea. So we do need to talk about that. I mean, we've got a little...
Not a word.
A little... I don't know if you want to call him a crazy man. Right around
there, well, that's
but,
exactly it. I mean, he... Kim is really a fool. And he is the kind of fool that is the least enjoyable to have around. He's a dangerous fool. And he can make a silly mistake. He can make a snap decision. He can play this thing like, you know, the outcome really doesn't matter. The Americans aren't going to do anything. And he could start a regional war over there, which could, in theory anyway, go nuclear. So people need to be aware of what this guy's whole thing is. And that's
absolutely
one of the things that happened tomorrow night on Radio Free America, right here on conservativenationradio.org at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central.
Awesome, Duke. Thank you for calling in. And you guys, be sure and tune in, because that's a legitimate concern, and we all need to be more aware of what's going on there in the nation of North Korea and that region. So, hey, Duke, thanks for calling in, and hoping for a good turnout for your show tomorrow, because that
have a wonderful night, effort. Ladies.
You too.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Okay, well. The leftist media would like conservatives like us to think we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness. And they do this, too, you know, because they show partial, like this Ted Cruz thing. They showed the part where the small little group of liberal people were protesting him on his gun amendment, but they cropped the shot so you didn't see all the larger crowd that were pro-guns. Anyway, don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber the liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls. Even by liberals, if you respect traditional Americans' values, there's a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TradAm, as we call our home. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement.com, and we hope to see you there soon.
Now, you know, I wanted to say, too, can you imagine those people up in Boston area that were told to stay in their houses? How many of them you think wished had a gun?
Oh, I know. I know. Yeah. Well, I got one, so I'm, you know.
Yeah, but you're a little
I'd stay in my home with my gun. I'd have my gun out. I'd be ready. But that actually caused quite an uproar. Some people were, you know, quoting the Fourth Amendment. But, you know, Barbara, I don't know. If there's terrorists running around, I'm thinking, you know, come in my house and search if you want. I don't care. But, you know, technically by the Fourth Amendment, can't do that. So it's been kind of an interesting, you know, just watching the comments flow. And I really don't have that much of an opinion on that because I don't have anything to hide. So I'm not always sure I care a whole lot. But there are some people really kind of upset with that police state they called there for a day. But I'm kind of leaning toward that it was kind of a warranted situation. If you've got somebody you think might have explosives on them, you got to protect the people. But I don't know. Somebody can call in and change my mind. I don't know.
I don't know. Martial law kind of thing, you know, where the government is telling you what to do and how to do it. Stay in your house. But then somebody else said it wasn't mandatory.
It wasn't mandatory, but they didn't really want you on the streets. And most people apply.
Yeah. You know, so, and it costs a lot of money to bring everybody there.
I think they're saying that Boston lost, were they saying a billion? A lot of money.
More than
just for that one day, because everything shut down, even the businesses shut down for that day.
Yeah.
But I'm just not quite sure that I would go strongly with the Fourth Amendment simply because of the nature of the pursuit, because the one brother did have that suicide vest on. And they did have bombs, and they were throwing bombs. So
out the window as they were being chased by now.
I don't know, but I bet you some of them Massachusetts people were wishing they'd had their guns about at that point in time. So.
And then I heard too that after the explosions went off at the Boston Marathon, that they went and hung out with some of their friends and smoked weed. I don't know how true that is, but
the younger one did, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think 2 days after he was.
Yeah. Let's hang out and smoke a dude, man.
But hey, you know, he was brainwashed.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So, you know, we got to be lenient with this poor child. Not.
Yeah,
not
is right.
Don't let him go there, people. Do not fall for it. They're going to play him up. They're going to dress him up like this cute little child. And we need to be vigilant, and we need to demand justice for the people of Boston and for those people who can't speak for themselves now, and all those who have lost, you know, life or limb in this
life
situation. Always keep the victims in your mind, because that's how we fight
that.
And
they had the next day, they had... explosion in West Texas.
Yes. We didn't even touch that.
No. You know, and part of me thinks that it was not a coincidence. But that's just me.
Some people were saying that, but there was a fire I think I'm breaking up, but there was actually a fire burning before the explosion happened. So whether that fire was intentional or not, I guess they'll probably get to the bottom of that. But they had to wait several days, I think, to even go in. But you know what was bad about that? Did you see where that counselor posted something about the white people being dead?
Yes. And she was Yeah.
Can you believe that? This was a black woman, and that was what she said
about this disaster.
It's just, and they call us racist. They call us racist, and yet this is how they think. This is how they think. And if you watch them, I watched this debate between Star Parker and Al Sharpton, and it's amazing how they actually think. It gives you kind of an insight of where they're coming from, but they truly believe that we're out to oppress them. So, well, hey, guys, we are going to shortly run out of time here, so I want to thank everybody that tuned in tonight. Thank our great guest, Kevin Skoler. We'll be here next week, same time, same place. We invite you back then, and we're just going to take this out with a song. What do you say, Barbara?
Okey-doke. Thanks, everybody, for being here.
All right, thank you, and good night.
Good night.
Good night.